This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session was first published back in the month of April of the year 2006, and it's being put on audio in the month of January of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is found in the book of Romans, chapter number 2 and verse number 14. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. The title for this message is Doing Good Won't Get It. This month's subject addresses an issue that I haven't commented on in quite some time, and that is, just because a person happens to be doing good, even to a greater extent than those of us that name the name of Christ, does not get them into heaven. In many of my encounters, both on the personal as well as the ministerial, and listening to people on the radio and TV, many people tend to think that even though they don't believe in God or want to get what they call too religious, if anyone gets into heaven, then surely they will, because they do, and even in some cases even exceed what God says that those that believe in Him should be doing. What they are doing is depending on their works to get them in. Now, I am not talking about those that are out here doing evil and trying to relieve their guilt by doing a lot of good things as if they can buy their way into heaven. No, the people that I am talking about are those that follow the moral guidelines that the Bible outlines. They love their fellow man. They help the needy, they clothe the naked, provide food for the hungry, and try to comfort the sick. All of these things are the basics of what Christ said that Christians should be doing. And many Christians follow those principles. Whenever there is a call for money, or maybe time for the purposes of aiding in some cause, like what happened last summer when Hurricane Katrina literally destroyed New Orleans and caused tens of thousands to become instantly homeless. Practically every church in this nation started drives or participated in them to send money, food, clothing, and other necessities to the victims. People took time off from their jobs and even off of their vacations or retirement to go down there to see what they could do. Others opened up their homes or other places that they had to provide shelter for whomever wanted to take them up on their offer, free of charge. All of these things are exemplary, and it is the Christian that should be leading the way so that the victims can see the love of Christ in their actions. However, Christians were not the only ones that reacted the same way towards them. We had people of other faiths, atheists, agnostics, and the whole gamut of different people pitching in to help. Now, one would summarize that with all of this going on, if there is a God, then surely what these non-Christians are doing would surely be cause for him to put them down on a list of being worthy of getting into heaven, especially when what they are doing is a whole lot more than many Christians are willing to do. After all, there are some Christians that could be helping a lot more, donating a lot more, supporting a lot more than they are, but because of purely selfish reasons, don't. Then those that know about them and do more than them would say, I'm doing more than they are doing, therefore, if God is fair, then I will be rewarded more than them. Now, that way of thinking, while appearing to be the right thing for God to do, has its flaws. First, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses number 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, or in other words, headed toward heaven, through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means that doing good for the purpose of getting some type of reward only works with man. We can see that on the job. The more work a person does, or the better job that they do, the more they will get paid, or the better chance for a promotion to a better job. And this is the way it should be as far as man is concerned. But God, who says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses number 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Uses a different measuring stick, if you will, in deciding who is worthy of what. Now, naturally, among Christians, the more good one does, the more blessing they will receive in this life and rewards in heaven. Yes, God rewards his children based on what and how much they do. But did you notice I used the words his children? This is where most people, even a lot of Christians, miss it. Because there is a prerequisite that must be met first before we can jump into just who gets blessed, how much, and why. That prerequisite is you must be one of his children. And one of the major problems that we have in our mankind's way of thinking is that we are all God's children. That means no matter what you are, whether you believe in Christ or not, you are still one of his children. And as such, the more good you do, the greater the reward you will get from him. And the greatest reward is, you guessed it, heaven. Who wouldn't want to do whatever it takes to go there if you truly believe there is a God and that there is such a place? As a tragic side note, when we look at 9/11 and the 19 men that committed suicide in the name of Allah, killing thousands to earn a place in heaven and 70 virgins, you can see the extremes people will go through to get there. These men were depending on what they did to get them into heaven. But God says, not by works, especially not works of evil. But I'm not talking about works of evil. I'm talking about works of or righteousness, good deeds, if you will. Following the Ten Commandments to the letter, and even going beyond that, like tithing. God says we should give 10% of our first fruits or gross, and yet there are some that will give 15% and more. And if they are millionaires and billionaires, then who can possibly deny their qualifications for heaven? After all, they can give in one action more than most of us can give in a lifetime. So you can see, in our way of thinking, they would be at the top of the list for getting in. Then we have those that have been doing good deeds for years and even decades. Well, those that have lived most of their lives doing mediocre or even evil, once turning from these ways to following the ways of Christ, would feel that since they waited so long to start, that they don't have much of a chance to attain what those that have been doing it for so long. And once again, while that would seem to be the right thing for a just and fair God to do, it totally misses the mark. While time on the job, so to speak, means accumulating more rewards and crowns, it is not the all-inclusive factor of the numbers of these that a person might receive. Let's take a look at a little discussed message in Scripture and that bears out what I'm talking about. Jesus is speaking a parable, saying in Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse number 29. He says, "And everyone that hath forsaken house, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Now we're going to go to chapter 20 and verse number 1, starting at verse number 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Verse number 5. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto him, Why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, Because no man has hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first. Verse number 9, it says now, And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree for me for a penny? Take that down thy hands and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Verse 16, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. This passage of Scripture bears out the fact that God uses a different standard than man thinks is right. But since the earth and all that dwell on it are God's in the first place, then he can do as he pleases, and we have nothing to complain about. However, if you will notice, the parable mentions that the laborers were hired by the man in the first place. And that is the key to this message. You have to be hired or a child of God to receive reward, the reward and heaven. You just can't jump in and start doing things and expect to get what those that were hired to do the same things get, even if they aren't doing it. It's like going into a department store and seeing things lying on the floor instead of on the shelves, and picking them up and putting them where they belong. Then going to the manager of the store and expecting him or her to pay you for the work that you just did. Putting it quite simply, you, though doing good, like Jesus said his followers should be doing, doesn't entitle you to the blessings that he has for them, even though you may be doing more than them. In effect, your working is in vain. It is an exercise in futility. Why? Because God looks at it as you're trying to satisfy your own ego and not trying to please him. Well, that's the end of our message for this session, and I hope that you have gotten something from it, and the message that should be getting from it is the fact that we got a lot of good people out here that do a lot of good things in the world for helping the sick and the needy and all that other good stuff. Everything that, you know, God has told his church to do, but many of us in the church aren't doing it. But by the same token, God is only obligated to pay or give to those that he has directed to go out and do these things, but they have to have been directed by him to do it. You can't just up and start doing something that God has directed his children to do and expect to be rewarded the same way as his children are rewarded. Are you understanding? Because the only thing is doing, like it says, the person is doing it, people that aren't hired to do something, they can work if they want to work, and if they decide they don't want to work, they'll just stop and go on about their business and things. You know, it's no big deal, no obligation there. And see, God wants you tied into him, and what he says that you should be doing, And you don't get that from people that are under no quote unquote legal obligation to do what he wants them to do. And that's the case where a lot of saints or a lot of people are falling into the notion that they can do something like that. And God is simply saying, no, it don't work like that. We just read about the householder hiring the laborers for his vineyard. It's along the same lines. Well, that's all for this message, for this session. And in closing, let me just say to you and yours, may God bless you and yours till we get together for another message from the Word of God. And until then, good day.